Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Is the question. Where's the steak? All right, that's the annuals. I know absolutely nothing about them other than I assume they're from Cleveland because they're on Marcon. Marcon is a record label that had exactly one release. This was it in 1959, but on the label it says Cleveland, Ohio, so that's a clue. All right, so I figured it was perfect to talk about being hungry for steaks and everything else when maybe some people can't afford them this year. Yes, the prices not only of meat, but many of your favorites are apparently up. Is it supply and demand? Well, we're going to find out. Danielle Weiner-Bronner, a writer for CNN, knows all about this. So welcome, Danielle.
Thank you for having me.
I'm interested in this. As I was saying earlier before you joined us, I noticed that some staples that you normally wouldn't expect to see prices increase, suddenly they are. So I guess my first question is it simply supply and demand?
That's certainly a part of it. I think what we're seeing is there was this huge rush on grocery store shelves in March and April, and the supply chain wasn't prepared for it. You know, now I think people are probably feeling a little bit calmer and aren't as concerned about stocking up, but they're still going to the grocery store a lot more often than they have. So we're seeing demand go up and supply has been constrained by disruptions to the chain, whether that means people at factories staying home or those meat processing plants in particular, those are closing down. Another thing I've heard is that because of this incredible rush and an incredible spike in demand, we may not be seeing as many discounted items. So the breaks that consumers were expecting to get at grocery stores may not be happening as often right now.
That's not surprising to me at all. But when you talk about the meat packing plants, of course, that's a big concern because we have heard about closures and impending closures. And I assume should that happen, that would dramatically potentially impact the supply. So as many of us are in places where we're starting to see areas open up and life come back to whatever the new normal is, I would think that for the actual processing chain, we haven't really necessarily hit bottom yet.
It's hard to tell. I think it has to do with how many are closed at once. We've seen some reopen in the time, since the earlier closures. So I wouldn't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but I don't think that we're necessarily on a particular trajectory. I think it'll just depend on the cadence at which things reopen.
And that's interesting, too, because you talk about people who are suddenly buying more than they otherwise would. If confidence is such that people think it's going to disappear or be pricier, that may cause more of a run on items again. You mean your Miss Cleo ball is dusty? You can't
right.
Tell me the future? All right. So here we are this year, at least, and we know about what's going to go on Memorial Day weekend because here we are in it. Barbecue-wise or cooking-out-wise for the holiday, what's the big item?
I think, as always, people are buying ground beef and hot dogs. It seems that those items are in demand. And I've heard from some of the grocers I've spoken to that lemons and limes are also in high demand. People might be mixing up some cocktails.
Oh, that's interesting. You say lemons and limes, and I'm going for salsa, but you're right. They're probably drinking it. Hadn't even occurred to me. Well, normally ground beef and hot dogs are your budget meal, to say the least. Are we seeing higher prices on that this year?
Yes, I believe so. I only spoke to a handful of grocers directly, but I think a couple bucks for both of those items. Also, we saw in April, according to the Consumer Price Index, which is put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that prices for hot dogs were up, almost 6%. So that's certainly been an increase. And other meat prices have also gone up.
Now, I noticed in your article that fresh beef, 12% almost jump at the beginning of May compared to a year mm-hmm. ago. Now, one thing that I saw in your article, complete with a wonderful picture, was specialty items. And so I see these lobster claws, and the first thing I'm thinking is how? You know how to put the hamburger on the grill, but the lobster, and do you have any idea how to cook that?
Oh, I don't.
Okay,
you're asking
that's
the wrong person. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a grilling expert later, so I'll certainly certainly hit him up on that. But I would think that when you're looking at say part of a lobster, any part, it would be pricier than a hamburger. So are there specialty mm-hmm. items that are suddenly coming down in price because the demand is so much less?
I think that what's going on with those specialty items is a lot of them were en route to restaurants. And now that those suppliers who had, would normally sell a lot of those high-end products or those specialty products to restaurants, they're scrambling to find new homes for them. So you might be able to go to a grocery store and find a filet mignon or something that you wouldn't traditionally shell out for and find that it's a little bit of a deal. I don't know if it's cheaper than ground beef or hot dogs necessarily, but it's probably going to be less than what you're used to.
Yeah, even if it's in the same family, that would be amazing. But I never thought about that, and it makes all the sense in the world. And of course, there I'm thinking supply lines. Where's the filet mignon likely to migrate? Would that be your local chain, or is there someplace you should be looking to find these deals?
I think that a local chain would be a good place to start. You might also just give your local butcher a call. And, the people who have longstanding and direct relationships with those smaller suppliers, they're able to buy up items that they wouldn't have otherwise. They're able to say, well, what do you have available? We'll take it off your hands and then sell it to customers. So anything local, anything independent is more likely to have those kinds of odd items.
I would assume that even though we talk about aged beef, that when we're talking about beef for the most part, or certainly seafood and things like that, that there is an absolute shelf life and how long, even stored in the best possible way, assuming you're not freezing it, that this stuff can last. And so with that in mind, let's say the restaurants aren't going to take it. How quickly did they have to get to the shelves?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the item. I'm not sure if there's an answer for all of these items, but I think that they just have to operate as quickly as possible and make sure that the place that it lands has enough freezer capacity to hold if they want to freeze it.
Now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, consumers paid 5.7% more for hot dogs, as your article points out, and 4.5% more for carbonated drinks, and 3.8% more for snacks. So this begs the question, is it this Memorial Day because of the pandemic, or do they increase the prices every Memorial Day?
So that's a great question. I think that in general, the prices that do go up around Memorial Day, those increases are not usually pronounced enough to be passed along to the consumer. So the grocery store might have to pay a little bit more because there's more demand, but if they want to, it might be worth it for them to just keep the prices regular so as not to surprise their customers.
Well, that's interesting. So for the most part, if there's a fluctuation, they're eating it, the consumer may not see the difference in their checkout line.
Right. And there are fluctuations that happen across the supply chain all the time. There's bad weather, which might affect a crop, or there might be a fire at a processing plant that would take that one out of commission. I think what's unusual now is that all of the producers across the board, as we all are, facing this global crisis, and it's not as easy to find the padding in the supply chain as it once was.
Right, because I think the biggest issue we're facing really is the unknown. Like you say, you can't predict the future, even though I really was hoping you could for at least $1.99 a minute on a toll-free number. But you you talk about the best protein for the buck. What is it?
Well, I think that might depend on your local chain. You might want to call up your grocery store, take a look online at what discounts they are able to offer. You can also do that for the larger ones. But it might be a time to experiment. Instead of going for the traditional ground beef and hot dog, you might just want to try something different and then, you know, follow the dollars.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it might be a lamb chop or something else that you otherwise wouldn't necessarily eat that might be a great deal. Providing, of course, you've got some recipe that will allow you to cook it to some semblance of edibility. So I think that's probably an issue, too. It's interesting because I think that there are so many things that people can't do right now because of the pandemic. But the one thing they can do, I don't think there's a moratorium on this anywhere, is they can have a cookout. And I don't know if you've crunched the numbers on that, but have any idea in terms of millions how many people are cooking out this weekend?
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a great question. But I do, you know, another thing to consider is how many people are they cooking for? So it might be that everyone is taking this chance to mark the holiday and do something different, but they might be having, you know, just immediate family or a very small group of people this year as opposed to a larger party last year. So it could be that even if you're spending more per item, you might be shelling less out altogether.
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. But I'd assume that the other 37 people who were coming to your party, they're at home now and they're having to shell out for their four people and dog or whatever. So ultimately, there's not too many people who are going to miss the opportunity to socialize in whatever way they can around food. Because you know what better an impetus than a good meal? Or as you say, no limes and lemons for drinks. And that's okay, too. Why not? So as you did this research, because you know it's interesting, of course, there you are, you're crunching numbers and you're trying to make an article that's interesting to the reader, and it may only be 10 paragraphs, but it might have been hours for you. What is the most unusual factoid you came up with about this Memorial Day cooking holiday?
Oh, that's a good question. One thing that I heard that I thought was really great was at Stu Leonard's, apparently they've got big 5-pound bags of French fries coming in from that was supposed to go to a restaurant, and Mr. Leonard told me that people are just buying that up. So I guess that if you are craving something that you might only be able to find at a restaurant or might usually go to a restaurant for, if you have the opportunity to cook it up at home, it sounds like people are jumping on it.
Well, it's fascinating to me. Of course, it's food, so I like the topic already. And have you been in the past doing these kind of rundowns on food?
Not quite as much. Before this, I was writing mostly about the big chains that you would have heard of, Starbucks and McDonald's and Pepsi and Coke on the other side. But the past couple months, I've really been reporting more on the supply chain and how it's been adjusting to this crisis that we have.
Well, that's interesting. Well, next you'll have to, you know, see how McDonald's is adjusting to the supply chain changes, because clearly the drive-thrus are packed. I don't know if that's true where you are. Of course, you're in New York, right?
Yes.
So you don't drive through anything. But for the rest of for the rest of America, we do. And I can tell you that that's one thing that I've noticed, because most of the drive-thrus are still open. And I always say for our 18-wheeler friends, for God's sakes, if you're a 4-wheeler, offer to buy your truck-driving friend something in the drive-thru, because they can't get that rig through that. Likewise, for people on feet, you know, offer to buy the pedestrians. But most of us are in cars, and we're you know, 10 cars deep at any time, day or night, at least what I've seen. So the only thing I found interesting is I was out in the Phoenix area last week and decided I'd go through the McDonald's drive-thru, and the only thing I eat there are their salads. And so I ordered a salad. She said, "We don't have those at this time." And I thought, now that's interesting. It was burgers and fries or else, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So it's yeah. I'll be interested to hear what you read about that.
Yeah, with a lot of the change now, partially because of disruptions to that supply chain, and partially, I think, just to make sure that they're as streamlined as possible, they've winnowed down their menus at least a little bit to the most popular items. So I'm not surprised that you weren't able to find a salad, because I think that for them right now, it's most important to make sure that they're focusing their energies on those highest selling items.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's just ruined my day. But I know, I absolutely, I can, I'll get over it. In the meantime, we hopefully will be reading more from you in the future, because I know that food is one topic, pandemic or not, that's certainly not going to go away, and we want to know all about it. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. So Danielle Weiner-Bronner, CNN Business.